Blog Talk Radio.
We're coming to the line. We're getting revved up. And when the green flag drops,
green.
We're going 0 to 180 in the blink of an eye. NASCAR is heading back to Vegas. The 2016 Cobalt 400, March 4th through 6th. Bright lights, high speed, all-out action. And all your favorite drivers vying for the top spot in the hottest town on earth. Reserve your weekend tickets now at 800-644-4444 or lbms.com. NASCAR in Vegas. Turn up the party.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Rowdy Maglite Racing. You got Rowdy Maglite here live in Alabama. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Mike Peterson with Wayne Peterson Motorsports. And I believe Mike's going to fill us in on what's going on with Peterson Motorsports. And I'd like to bring Mike in right now.
Hello, Rowdy. It's Mike.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Mike, how about yourself, sir?
Oh, doing very well. Keeping busy.
Getting ready for April the 9th up for Nashville Fairgrounds?
Oh, yes. We're going over the cars we had at Daytona, trying to keep them prepared and, you know, few minor repairs and maintenance and stuff that we have to do to those and rolling out the short track program for Nashville.
Mike, I was at Nashville last year. Really great place to be racing at. A lot of history at Nashville Speedway there at the fairgrounds. Mike, y'all raced there several years, hadn't you?
I grew up. My dad was a crew chief for Winston Cup team, and so when I was 4 and 5 years old, I was running around inside racetrack, hanging out with, the Allisons and the Petties and all that back in the mid-60s.
When NASCAR actually raced
the
Cup Series at Nashville.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
It was loud there. The grandstands, the way that's designed, it reflects a lot of the sound back into the racetrack, and the racetrack has billboards that pretty much encircle the track all the way around, and they hold the sound really into the track. So, that's one thing I remember as a kid, that it was so loud. We go to Daytona and Talladega and a lot of the other tracks, and you don't get that feeling. You get it at the fairgrounds, and you get it at Bristol. Nowadays Bristol is so enclosed. It's the heat and the air and the sound all just stay right there in the pit area and the infield.
It seemed like the way they had the grandstands with a roof on it. That's what when we left there, my brother actually got to go and hang out with me last year at the fairgrounds, and that was one of the things we talked about on the way home was how loud the track was, and that's why we come up with it. It had to have been the signs that surround the track and the way the grandstand was built with a roof on it. It just seemed like when you went through the grandstands, it just echoed like a big speaker.
Yeah, it's in the infield, it sort of hits that and comes right back at you. The fans will really enjoy the race because they'll be able to feel the race and not only see it, but they'll feel it.
And they also, they give, an hour to come down and sign autographs, 40 minutes. They're able to actually get to see, touch, and get an autographed hero card from the drivers.
Yeah, ARCA's really good about that. We try to stay in touch with our fans because – if it wasn't for the fans, we wouldn't be racing. It's really a great deal that ARCA does. We line up all the cars in qualifying order right there on the front straight, and we invite the fans to come out of the stands, and we'll sign hero cards there on the pit wall or next to the cars, depending on the track. And you know, they can look at the cars and talk to the drivers and even talk to some of us crew members.
Well, Mike, you know, I was at Atlanta this weekend. It was a great show. But, you know, you just don't get the same feely, touchy that you get with ARCA. And it's just like you say, ARCA, they'll let you come down and you actually get to talk to the crew members. I mean, if you don't get one-on-one with somebody, it's because you didn't want to be one-on-one with a driver or a crew member. And that, Mike, sitting out in the stands for me for 19 years and just watching, I never walked down and got an autograph, my son and I. But 5 years ago, I was introduced to ARCA, and I'm like that little old brim that you caught that had the hook run through its eye, how hard it was to get the hook out. I'm hooked. You pretty much every time you see me, unless it's in Pocono or up in Jersey at the road course, I'm going to be somewhere around, and I tell you, and it's because of that I've met a lot of great people. And I, you know, ARCA to me is for the money. Is if you want to get one on one for the money, ARCA's where it needs to be. Don't you agree?
Yeah, ARCA's where NASCAR was in the '60s and the '70s. You know, we're very focused on fans. We understand that. You know, everybody's watching budgets and, you know, they're here to support us. And the way that we get our support is making those one-on-one contacts. We've come up with, you know, fans that have actually sponsored our cars. You know, we operate on a limited budget, but, you know, it's still the feedback that we get from fans. You know, a lot of our crew members, you know, that have worked with our team over the years, that's how we met them. Is, you know, they'd come out of the stands and go, man, y'all are doing, you know, things that we only dream about. And, you know, we open the invitation. You know, we can help you live the dream. You know, we're always you know, looking for more help. And you know, we'll teach you what to do, and it's a way of living the dream. You know, we've had you know, crew members and interns and drivers, and that's what ARCA is about, is living the dream. This is the opportunity to run on, you know, Daytona and Talladega and Pocono, Michigan, Chicagoland, Kansas, Kentucky. You know, you're right there at the same tracks with the same crews, and you know, we're running equipment that you know, all of my cars are X Cup cars, and except for one of them is an X Nationwide car, and you know, they all have glorious histories in the Cup. You know, several of them have wins in Cup. And then, you know, we're running these cars today because NASCAR has gone to the car of tomorrow.
Well, Mike, I was lucky enough to be standing down there in the pits and thinking the same thing you was talking about, that how it would be nice to be able to help and work on the team. And your dad kind of come over there, and we started talking. The next thing you know, I'm pushing the car down the speedway to go get gas. So, your dad and you, pretty much, if you want to be part of it, you can actually get hooked up. I met a guy this weekend. It was great to be out at Atlanta this weekend, and for one of the reasons, Mike, was this, I met several people that were newbies. They had never been to a NASCAR race, and I met four guys from Chicago, and never had been to a NASCAR race. They flew down, rented the car, got a motel room. They had their, you know, they sell a pre-pit pass before the race, which you just get to get on the track and actually pass through what they're doing in the pits. You don't get to get on the other side of the wall, what's really happening. And he come back telling me about his experience, and I said, well, you're from Chicago, you know, if you want to experience something a little different, I'll meet you over there and we can put you to work doing something. And he couldn't believe that he could actually be able to get down there and be part of it. But
no, it's a great experience to, you know, to see what goes on behind the scenes. You've worked with us for years, and you know, in NASCAR they have the Room of Doom where you roll through and they put the big claw on the body, and they're checking, making sure the body's right and the rear end angles of the wheels are right, and you know, all the things that go through inspection. Well, ARCA does basically the similar thing. We're not quite as high tech as some of the NASCAR computer generated testing is, but you know, believe me, they crawl all over our cars. We have them jacked up, and you know, before Daytona and Talladega, we'll completely disassemble all the suspension, and they'll go through and check and make sure that you know, the springs are setting into the bucket properly, and the trailing arms, you know, they've got several different gauges that, and some of the gauges were developed for NASCAR. They have a swing gauge for the trailing arm that's originally developed for NASCAR, you know, making sure we're not getting the car so that the geometry in the rear end changes. And, you know, it was sort of popular in NASCAR to have the car sort of dog walk a little bit, and now they've changed the rules so that they see some risk in having that. It's, you know, it's a safety concern, and so they make sure that, you know, the best way to make sure is have us pull it all apart, and you know, they'll go in and check and make sure, you know, everything's welded where it needs to be and nothing can move, and you know, the rear end's, you know, fully torqued to the trailing arm, and it's at the right location and right angles, and you know, we use a big 3-foot torque wrench to be able to put 300 foot pounds on each of the U-bolts to you know, satisfy that everything is snug and safe, and you know, that's what we want, is a equal playing field and safety. And you know, ARCA's always make sure that, you know, safety's number one, and that's where it needs to be.
They do a good job on safety. Mike, how many stations? Is there 7 checkpoints with the templates and everything that you go through?
Yeah, they go through. It depends. At Daytona and Talladega, some of the stations, they'll actually split them up. You know, sometimes you don't know you're at a station. They'll float a little bit and have you know, a couple of the teams will have a, you know, 2 stations will be broke up. So you know, we go through, you know, pull our carburetor off and have them check all that and seal that. So once we get the carburetor, you know, whether we're running the tapered spacer at most of the tracks or the restrictor plate at Daytona, Talladega, we have to pull all of that apart, and they go in and make sure and look down all the runners and make sure everything's good. And then, you know, the ARCA officials themselves will go in and put on either the tapered spacer or the restrictor plate. And then they watch me install the carburetor and tighten everything down, and then there's some seals they'll put on so that I can't turn the 4 bolts that hold the carburetor to the intake. And then they'll actually put a tamper seal. It's a bright color paint, and they change it for each race, and they'll paint the threads and to the nut to make sure that we don't turn the studs or the nuts in any way, form, or fashion. And we'll do that and before we ever go out on a racetrack. You know, they want everybody on a level playing field. Because a lot of times qualifying is based upon what your practice speeds are. So we do that before we go through the normal template inspections and stuff like that. And then, like you said, there's 7 inspection stations. They check and make sure our air pressures are right and the angles of the car. They go over the bodies pretty good. We've got some really intelligent people on how to tweak the bodies here or there. So, somebody will come up with a new gray area, and they'll develop a template for that area. So they've got a whole truckload of templates that they check our bodies with, and even underneath it, there's a lot of templates. Like I said, there's a swing gauge for the trailing arm, and they have several gauges and stuff like that. Nashville has a zoning requirement. We run a muffler there so that we don't disturb the neighborhood too much, and that chokes off a little bit of horsepower. And they'll crawl under the car and make sure all those are in place. And then when we fire the car up, they'll come over and monitor what the noise level is to make sure we're all in spec. It's hectic, but it's something we've developed a routine, and we know what we've got to do, and we know what our bodies look like, and we have a few adjustments with screw jacks and sway bars and stuff like that. But once you get the car set up, you know you're going to pass through inspection. First time, if you get into a little fender bender, you have to get it back to spec. And we work with the officials, and we have copies of some of the templates, so we know we're building a legal car.
Well, once you get through all your inspections and qualify, then you have to go back through inspection again to make sure you were qualified to be legal for the race. Isn't that right, Mike?
Well, what we do is we go before they allow us to on the racetrack. Like this year at Talladega, all day Thursday will just be, there's no track activities, is us just going through, tearing the car apart. They'll split the field into two halves. Half of them will be working on the body templates and underneath it looking at the trailing arms. The other half is we'll be in the garage area. We'll put the car up on stands, pull the wheels off, and then totally disassemble all the suspension system. They'll go through and do safety inspections, fuel cells. We have to pull the fuel cell out of the car, pull the bladder out of the fuel cell, pull all the foam and all that. They make sure the dates are right, make sure that we don't have anything in there, make sure the dimensions are where they're supposed to, and then we reassemble it and put it back in there. And then they put a seal on it. And, once it's sealed, as long as we don't break the seal, then they, at every race, they'll verify that seal is still in place. But at Talladega this year, we'll go through on Thursday and do all the inspections. And then once we're through the inspections, then that'll allow us to go out and practice Friday morning. And then after we practice, we'll go back through the inspections. And, they'll check everything. They won't, everything that's sealed, of course, we won't have to disassemble,
right.
But they'll go through and make sure, everything, the weights and the angles and the spoiler and several of the templates. They go through a little bit shorter version of the templates, but you still get about 80% of them. And then we'll go through all those templates right before qualifying. Once we're qualified, now Arcus uses the group qualifying, so we'll go out in packs of 5 or 6 cars and qualify. Once we qualify, they're going to impound us. So, they'll roll us over and put us into our qualifying order, and we're not allowed to touch the car. They have a short list of things we are allowed to do. We're allowed to put one or two turns in the rear screw jacks maximum. We're allowed to adjust the tape. We're allowed to charge the radios for the driver or the race safe system. Add a water bottle for his comfort, but clean the windshield, and that's about it. They really don't allow us to do hardly anything to the cars, in an impound race after qualifying. At Talladega, we're not going to have a whole lot of time. We have qualifying, and we'll be pretty much lining up to start the race, just a few minutes after qualifying's over. Once they set the field, they'll have us hustling. Like you said, we end up pushing a car about 100 miles for a 200-mile race, going through all the inspections. But they'll move us to one area and line us up, and then move us another area to stage us to go out on the pit road. And then we'll push out on pit road. So we don't have a whole lot of time. We've got a quick practice from in the morning, and then we've got to get ready for inspection and qualifying and impound and race.
Now in Nashville, it's a one-day event. All that happens in one day, don't it? It's hard to push all that into one day and race at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, Nashville. Nashville's going to be a little bit compressed, and it presents its own problems because you got to come there ready to go. But these are the first time that ARCA has seen a lot of the cars, so we'll utilize. We learned a long time ago we'll have a fuel cell inspected, and have it already sealed so that the short track car that we take to. Or cars that we take to Nashville, we'll already have that inspection behind us. This will be the first time we'll roll out a Dodge that we call Gator and a Ford that we call FedEx. And it'll be the first time that ARCA has seen them this year. They're familiar with the cars, and we know that the bodies and all that are legal. We've got to just make sure that the setups are where they need to be. You got to have the right frame height and clearance and angle on the spoiler and all that stuff. So, you bring a new car in where ARCA has to look at everything, and it can be really, really challenging. There's going to be teams that, that roll in brand new fuel cells the fuel cell comes in and out of a small opening on the top, and you just have to manhandle that thing to get it in and out of there. It takes an experienced person to get it inspected and get it put together and assembled, and you got to make sure everything's right. There's a couple of fittings that you have to, fuel line fittings on the inside, that you've got to make sure those things are tight so you don't suck any air or don't pinch that line. Worst thing you can do is
look like a puzzle.
There's some foam, open cell foam that goes inside of it, and there's about six pieces, so you have to lay those pieces in there in the right configuration so they all fit together, and you have to route that fuel line over into the corner. So gravity will push the fuel over into one side. They came out with a mat that lays in the bottom, and several of the teams are utilizing it. If you run the fuel-injected Ilmor, they've pretty much made that a requirement. The fuel injection, if you ever suck any kind of air, it pretty much will do you in. It just cavitates the fuel pump, and you can't get the car started if you ever suck air. It just won't get any fuel. These legacy engines that we have, they're a little more tolerant. We keep enough fuel in the bowls of the carburetor to run a lap or so. So if we have a little air bubble come through, it still functions pretty good.
That Elmore with that Legacy is kind of competitive at a short track, isn't it, Mike?
Compared to the
Elmore.
The Legacy motors that we're running are, all of our engines are ex-Winston Cup engines that, as they went over to the next generation, we've been able to purchase some of the used engines. The two engines we had at Daytona, one of them was a DEI Chevrolet engine, and the other one is a Richard Childers engine. They retired them, and we purchased them, and keep them freshened up periodically. They have about 850 horsepower, so they have a good bit more horsepower than the Elmore. But we have to run a tapered spacer that chokes them down a good bit. We lose a couple of hundred horsepower with the tapered spacer, and we lose about 400 horsepower with the restrictor plate. So the Elmores are running a bigger taper spacer or a bigger restrictor plate that gives them a competitive advantage. The Elmore's it's a good idea long term. It's just they're a little bit expensive and they're building some reliability. We just we're looking for sponsorship so we can go ahead and step up to the Elmores to run on the speedways. The advantage that with the Elmores are there, all your top teams are going to be running Elmores. At Daytona, I think the top 32 in speed all were Elmores. So the Legacy engines, we ended up having to take a provisional to get in the show. They throttle us back a little bit with the restrictor plate, to keep us from gaining an advantage. The Legacy engines, these are engines that we build, so it's possible to get real creative in there, to build something that's real lightweight and develop some horsepower, so they keep us throttled back pretty good. At the short tracks, horsepower is not quite as critical. You want horsepower going down the straightaways, but you're only on the power, for the first half, the first two thirds of the straightaway. And we found that with our Legacy engines, after the tires are sort of equalized, we can pretty well run with them. And matter of fact, several teams were surprised last year when we started passing them and lapping them in the middle of the race. They had the horsepower, and the horsepower caused them to abuse their tires a little bit. With us running a little bit lower in horsepower, we didn't abuse our tires, so we were able to, middle of the when their tires went away, our tires still hung on, and they were several teams that just were amazed that we were out there passing them or even lapping them during the somewhere around lap 50. Their cars are just skating around, and our cars are still handling because of the little bit less horsepower that we're running.
Well, Mike, I think I've got your spotter, Lisa, on the phone. Let's check and make sure this is Lisa.
Hey, I'm here, Addie.
Hey,
yes.
Lisa. This is Lisa Green from, you're actually from Nashville, correct?
Right outside of Nashville.
So you don't have a very long drive at all to get to the track come April the 9th, do you?
No, I do not. It takes me about 35 minutes from my house to get to the racetrack.
Well, Lisa, how long have you been working with Mike and Wayne now?
It's been,
You're
what, Mike,
spotter.
about about 10 years, Mike. Am I right?
Yeah, eight to ten years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
That's a pretty incredible view from up there, isn't it?
It is incredible. It really is. Nashville's a little different because you're up there, but you're kind of mixed in the crowd, and you're underneath an awning. So it's a little different at Nashville. You're kind of dodging fans, too, trying to spot. So it makes it a little interesting at times.
How would you view in at Daytona, Lisa,
Daytona,
the new spotter stand?
Well, my view from the new spotter stand was fantastic. You could actually see a strip of the ocean from up there. It's unbelievable. But you could see the whole racetrack, no blockage, no nothing. I mean, it was fantastic. And they did a remarkable job the way they made it. Because when we get up there, I mean, you know, the good thing is there's plenty of room. I mean, you could probably fit 50 people up there if you had to and no problem at all. I mean, they really made it a nice big area for us. I mean, it's wide. I mean, there's plenty of room for everything. We got room to run around and do what we need to do as far as our jobs. I was very impressed with the way they made Daytona.
Now, who'd you spot for, Lisa, at Daytona?
I had the 06. I had Tim Vaines. I was working pretty hard with Tim and teaching him. And, you know, we did really well together. I was, you know, I've got a lot more work to do with him. But over time, it'll get better as time goes on. I was working with the 68 car, too, in practice with Dale Schreyer out of Chillicothe, Missouri. I worked with him some, too, and taught him and got him in the race. And then I had to walk away. Unfortunately, you know, I had to walk away and come back to, you know, working with Tim. But I was working with both of them in practice. So it got interesting at times, but it worked out really, really nicely.
Lisa, have you run into a situation where that you had a problem with communications with a driver? How do you overcome that situation?
Well, Mike and me know that very well, don't we?
Sure.
Well, luckily Mike and me have to communicate sometimes with cell phones, and I'm like, you know, this is what's going on, and you're up there texting. I'm up there texting as quick as I can. So if I absolutely have to, I just, you know, I do what I have to do to make it through it. And I've had times where, you know, driver can hear me, I can't hear driver, and I'm up there going through my mind going, okay, what are they doing? And then, you know, I've had times where driver couldn't hear me at all, and then I just have to fake my way through it, and I've done that, and Mike knows I've done that. You kind of learn how to finagle it where they don't know what's going on. You don't have that communication.
Well, I was at Kentucky when you had a little bit of problem, wasn't it, Kentucky? And you come down, and you were so red-faced and mad, and everybody's like, stand away from
I
me,
was.
So let her go down.
It's very frustrating when you're up there and you've got ORCA, you got officials literally breathing down your neck, I mean, screaming at you, and you're like, look, I'm trying to make this happen. You know, and we all forget sometimes we're not driving the car, you know, and we're not. And I'll be the first to admit, I forget that at times. And, you know, and unfortunately officials forget that too sometimes. They're like, you know, they'll tell the tower, you know, she's communicating, she's trying, you know. You know, it's like they're telling them, you know, she's doing what you're asking to do, it just ain't getting through, you know. But unfortunately, that does happen at times. It's like, for whatever reason, you know, it could be it's a loose connection in between a helmet, or it could be me, you know, because when it starts happening, the first thing I do is start checking all my connections that I have up top. And a lot of times the driver can move their head and their helmet will come undone just enough to where it creates a problem.
Well, Mike, you being back at the fairgrounds back in the 60s, you probably held a letterboard a couple of times with a message before you had communications in the helmets. Is that right?
Oh yeah, we had number 1 through 5 with on tape on the dash. So we'd P4 means you're in position 4, and we had not only letter boards, but we worked with drivers, and Wayne would put his hand out, and if he put it up on the windshield, that meant that he was pushing. If he put it out and put it down low, that means the car was loose. So, it was not just the letterboard. The driver himself would signal what the car's doing, what we needed, and we would identify how many laps to we're going to pit for gas, and we had a little symbol that we put on the chalkboard there to have him tell us, go through how the car's doing. So, it would take him 4 laps to communicate different things that the car was doing with different hand signals. And you'd see the driver come by and he'd hold a number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 out. And that may tell us, he'd put a hand out to say the car is loose, and we'd want to know, how loose. And he would put out a number 1 through 5, and we knew if it was a 1, we could probably do adjustments with tire pressure. But if it was a 2, then maybe we needed to adjust a little bit with wedge. If it was a 5, we had to do a lot of changes. So they were. We would communicate a lot, but it was the driver's communication too. We had to get that feedback, and in the '60s, that signboard was our way of talking to him. But he had to keep one hand on the steering wheel, and a lot of people are like, "Look at him waving to his pit crew." No, that's a 5. That car is really loose. he don't want to be having that hand out. He's gripping that steering wheel with all he can, but he's communicating how bad that car is.
Well, so. You got Nashville. You got 2 cars, or y'all taking 3? You taking the Timex and the Dodge, correct?
Yeah, we'll be taking. I believe we're going to be taking FedEx. That's a Ford that we got from Joe Gibbs. FedEx came to us as a Chevrolet. It was a Denny Hamlin winning car at Pocono. It's got 2 wins at Pocono. And so when we got the car, we just started calling it FedEx because that was the logos that were on it when we bought it. And we converted it over to a Ford about 3 years ago. We were running Roush Yates Ford engines and had a really good relationship with Doug Yates and Nick Ramey. That was our best financial situation. So we took one of our Chevrolets and converted it over into Ford. And it has a lot of downforce, and that's what you would want at Pocono, is something that really gets through those tricky turns well. And so that car, it does really well on the short tracks and the intermediate tracks. Then we have a car that we call Gator, and it came from Allgaier. Justin Allgaier's. It's one of his cars, that last car he ran in ARCA. It's got a good downforce package. It's a Dodge, and we've got a good setup for that car. It we run a little softer spring package for a little more travel, but at Nashville, downforce is important. The track is really aggressive on tires, so tire wear is real critical. A driver's got to manage his tires throughout the racetrack. They talk about that a lot in Atlanta with this low downforce package that NASCAR is running, but when you get to these short tracks, You know, if you abuse the tires in those first 20 or 30 laps, you're going to have to run a long way without any good traction. So, you know, it's important to manage the tires and to have a good downforce package on the cars.
Well, looking back at Daytona, you had the 06, which was driven by Tim Bain. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, and you also had Corey Howard in the zero car. And you and Corey pretty much worked one-on-one with that car to get it right, didn't you, Mike?
Yeah. We were a little better prepared with the 06. Like I said, that car is probably one of our newest cars. We purchased it from Richard Childers. It won the nationwide race down there the year before we had bought it, and Clint had drove it and won the nationwide 300 lap race at Daytona, and then they ran it the last year that they run the legacy cars at Talladega, and he had a little bit of a bumping and pushing error on the last lap at Talladega and ended up finishing sixth, but it's a really good car. It's got a real good low drag package on it. The car Corey was in, the zero car, is a little bit older Rick Hendricks car that we had purchased a few years before that. It ran in ARCA with it was sponsored by and I can't even think of his name. Anyway, Montgomery, Chase Montgomery was the driver, and it qualified on the pole. Had a little bit of problem with spark plug wire, so we lost a lap. It's a real – Rick Hendrick built the car for Cup, and then we purchased it and ran it in ARCA for the last few years. We run that car – at a lot of places. It's a real good, dependable car. The crew likes pushing it around because it rolls so easy.
The longest push for gas, I believe, is Kentucky, don't you? Have you went to another track that it was as hard to get to as Kentucky Speedway to get gas?
The one I used to hate was Atlanta when it was the old configuration, because the gas pumps were on the back side of the Cup garages, and it was downhill all the way to it, but then that mean it was uphill, and it was significantly uphill all the way back out. The ARCA garages are usually, you know, segregated out away from the Cup garages a good bit. So In when we ran at Atlanta in the old configuration, the ARCA garage was pretty much over in turn four, so you had to go down pit road a good ways to, and then make that hard left into the Cup garage, and you had to have somebody in the car to drag the brakes because the car would get away from you, and then the back then it was Union 76 fuel, and it was at the far end of the garage, and you didn't want to come in there out of control.
Now, I'm going to tell you,
it's a far piece there at Kansas and Kentucky. The Kentucky one, like you said, you had to go out on pit road, go to the length of pit road, then come back in the other side of the garage area. We'll race with either the trucks or nationwide, and at that time, there's a fence that separates the two of them, and you have to go down that pit road and take it over, fill it up, and bring it back. Takes a little bit of time.
Mike, I was pretty impressed with Corey's driving at Daytona. Plus, he stayed right there with the car the whole time, and he knew what was going on. You know, nowadays you see some of these younger drivers that just put on their fire suit and walk and go and get introduced to the crowd and get in the race car and race. But I showed up Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, and Corey was standing right beside you helping. Y'all were working on the car hand on hand. And then for Corey to hold the line like he did at Daytona, I thought he did a great job. He finished, what, 21st?
Yeah, we had we ended up finishing 23rd. Corey's a grassroots racer. He runs a weekly series there in Florida. So he's very much a hands-on driver. If it's going to get done on his car, he's used to working it. So Corey drove for us a little bit last year at Mobile, and it was his first time in ARCA series, and you want to do something that's similar to what he has experienced in. So the Mobile race was a good proving grounds to demonstrate that he is a safe driver and understands all the rules. And then we went down and tested with ARCA to get him familiar with the racetrack. And the car that he drove during the race is the car that we had down there, and he tested in it. So he was familiar with the car, but, we always got things to do, and we had a little bit of distributor problem. He jumps in and driver wants the car to perform the best, and he's excited, and the best thing for him to do is to take that adrenaline and do something with it. I've seen some drivers that, they're sitting there looking at the car and they're, twitching and jerking, and they're just full of enthusiasm, and we need people to work on the car. So he knows what he's doing. And if he doesn't, he knows to ask, and we put him to work. We were actually going through TechLine working on the distributor a little bit. There's a magnetic pickup, and we had a pickup go bad. And, so we changed that pickup right there in the inspection line. It's not a complicated, but you have to get it right. And I sat there and worked with him, getting everything changed over, and we got it through all the inspections and out for qualifying.
I know I walked around there, Mike. I wasn't able to help y'all this year. First time, I think, in 3 years, and it felt so odd to walk by and speak to everybody and not go and grab something to try to help. And it took a whole lot to keep from doing that. But as I walked back around, you was talking about distributor cap, I looked up and there was Turtle and Tiny, and there's nothing tiny about Tiny.
No,
and
there's
Tiny's
not.
Holding Tiny's holding the distributor in his hand, and I'm like, qualify or practice is coming up here pretty quick. Tiny and Turtle's going to have to get fast and fast quick.
Yeah, we changed. We put in a temporary distributor to get Corey an opportunity to go practice and until we got the parts we needed to repair the distributor for him. We run a dual ignition system and we wanted everything working just right. So, we made distributor changes a couple of times there real quick, one to get out and practice, and then pull that one back out and put this one back in. And, but everything works out. There's we run a crane distributor, so it requires a little bit of finesse to get it all put together right and the timing right where it needs to be. And we do it day in and day out, so we there's no surprises, and we know what we're doing, and we just get the job done, and we focus on reliability. there's a lot of teams that, you know, everything is about, you know, I want to be the fastest car. Well, I want to be the fastest car at the end of the race, you know, not at the beginning. So, you know, we want to make sure we run a safe car and a reliable car, because, you know, with limited funds, you know, we can't afford to just go out and tear a car up and tear an engine up and say, oh, well, bring me another one. You know, we've got several cars, but, you know, we take care of each one of them. They're our babies. You know, you can hear me talk about them. Each car has a name because each car has a history. And, you know, we know the history because that history is part of our lives.
It makes for a great weekend, don't it, Mike?
Yes,
it's
it
a
does.
Lot of work, but it makes for a great weekend to be able to lay your hands on a car and be able to help.
I wanted to tell your listeners that one of the greatest attributes is when I see you on at Kentucky and you're over there getting everything warmed up. We've turned around and said, "Hey, put down the wrenches and fire up the grill."
They look like mad wolves when I put that tray of barbecue out there, and there's never nothing left. But that's the enjoyment of cooking.
Yep.
That's the enjoyment of cooking.
You had it already about 90% there, and it was. The sight for sore eyes. I know everybody's working 110%, but we'll sit there and, you know, when you tell us it's ready, we'll shed about four or five crew members and say, look, you know, when you finish what you're doing, go eat, and the rest of the team will continue on, and we don't give them a whole lot of time. They have to come over there and They're on a clock to eat, and they come back, and we'll send a third of the team at a time and go eat. But you've seen us at Talladega. We pretty much were eating while we're in the inspection lines.
Are you set with your drivers at Kentucky, or not at Kentucky, but at Nashville, Mike? Do you know who's driving your car?
We're still not set right now. We're trying to, we've got a couple of drivers that are interested, and they're trying to align sponsorship. It just costs so much for, you know, wear and tear on the equipment and tires and all that we need our drivers to help come up with sponsorship dollars so we're still trying to get that aligned. You know, it's like I said before, Nashville's going to be really rough on tires, and you know, for us to run the full race and run competitive, it's going to take a several sets of tires, and you know, we're just running on a limited budget. You know, we run every dime we make and every dime we can earn going into this race team. We ran three cars at every race last year, and several times we'd do a start and park with one to focus on the primary car. But we're trying to focus this year on just running two cars instead of three, trying to just limit some of the expenses.
That was pretty tough to do, wasn't it, Mike? Three cars was pretty hard on the
crews to, you know, like you said, you got to get these cars through all the tech inspections. So, we'll be running it at Daytona one race, and you know, then we got to get our short track program together, and we'll pretty much run the Dodge everywhere but Daytona and Talladega. So, you know, when we run a short track on one week and Pocono on the next, there's a lot of things that that have to be changed. We change gears in the rear end. We'll change shocks and springs and tires and the setup and you know, some of the cooling and you know, just there's a lot of work that goes on between the races. But you know, so you got to show up at the racetrack and get all three cars through all the inspections and you know, it's a far push of the car to go over, but if you've got three of them, by the time you push the car over into the other garage area, get fuel and bring it back, you do that three times, you won't have any problem sleeping that night except for the leg cramps. It's sometimes hilarious to, you know, you'll have two or three team members and you can hear somebody during the night, you know, cry out a little bit about leg cramps. You know, we try to make sure everybody has, you know, eats bananas for potassium.
I've been there, Mike.
Yep.
No, I've been there.
It'll get to you.
After a whole day, you don't sleep much at night. I mean, honestly, because my legs cramp up. Actually, working with y'all, I found places that cramp that I never knew cramped before.
Well, you're using the muscles a little bit different in your legs. You know, I've had people, you know, I can used to be able to go out and run 10 miles in the sand, and you know, and then I'd go to a racetrack and push a 3,400 pound car and get cramps. You know, and I'm like, why am I getting cramps walking with a car? When I'm going out on the beach and running in sand or water, you know, for training, and you know, but when I'm running on the sand, I'm not dragging 3,400 pounds, and you're sitting there on the calf muscle of your leg, you know, just trying to get all the thrust you can to push that car, and it'll just wear you out, you know, because every ounce of push that you've got, it's going through your wrist, your arms, your shoulders, your backs, the back of your legs and your calf muscles. And, you know, you're just, you know, that area of your body is just so tense, you know, and it seems like it's uphill both ways.
Well, what I've never understood is, you know, when you roll out on the speedway, they only let you, only three guys can touch the car, and they can only touch it in certain spots to push it. And I, you know,
yeah.
After you've worked all day, then they want you to roll the car out with just three guys.
Well, and one of the guys has got a steer.
That's exactly right. So really, basically, it's two guys trying to push on the side of a car what doesn't disturb the panels on the car.
Yeah.
Lisa, how do you prepare yourself for? I want to ask Lisa, if hypothetically, if you go to the track and you've never spotted before, or with that person, how do you prepare yourself and the driver?
Well,
so quick.
You know, I've worked, and Mike will contest, I've worked with so many different people, and everybody's different. A lot of people like a ton of information. Some people don't. One of the biggest things I do is I pull the driver away from everybody. I like to have a one-on-one conversation with who I'm working with and say, okay, talk to me. What do you like? What don't you like? I'll talk to you about the way I do things, and then we kind of try to come to a happy median. And then as the weekend progresses, you get better communicating with each other. I've learned that, and Mike has a teacher I could never had, and I will say one thing, Rowdy, Mike, it's such a pleasure to work with Mike and Wayne. It's a blessing, and it has been over the years, and I've always got ways of improvement, but, you know, Mike keeps pushing me and making me better each and every week, you know, and then we get feedback, and, of course, me and Mike have a prayer before each and every race, before I go up the spot. That is something that we started doing, and it's something we do week in and week out, and Mike will 100% contest that we do that. Even if he's not at the racetrack, we're on the phone having a prayer sometime before I go up and spot. And it relaxes my nerves and it calms me down and gets me to where I can get myself focused. Because once that headset goes over my head, you know, he will tell you, I can totally change and be a different person. And I love the fact that when I put that headset on, it's time to go to work. It's not time to, you know, there's a time to cut up and have fun, but then there's a time to work. And when I put that headset on, I go to work. That's my office. And when I watch races, like I'll watch Cup and Nationwide or Cup and Xfinity on TV, and what I do is I sit there and try to study it different than just a regular fan. I'm actually studying it, going, okay, what would I say in this situation? And then I've made some friends over the years, and I talk to them too, and they give me pointers. But as far as a driver, the biggest thing is communication. I talk to them beforehand, I give them a little bit of my background, the way I do things, and then we kind of work it out amongst ourselves, and generally it works out.
Well, Lisa, I want to thank you for calling in and being part of the show, and it's always a pleasure to see you. You know, even when you're mad, it's still good to see you, because sooner or later you're coming off the mad list. And, but I'm looking forward to seeing you in Nashville, and I'm going to tell you now, Mike, I'm going to cook you on Boston Button Bracket, so let's just, that ought to get everybody fired up for Nashville.
Oh,
that sounds
fantastic.
But Lisa, thanks for calling in.
Not a problem.
All right, Lisa, see you in Nashville, dear. Thank you, dear. Have you got time for one caller? And this caller here, Mike, he's going to be at Pocono, and you can put him to work. Hold on just a minute.
Yeah, we have
hello
a good...
there.
Hello.
Are you still on, Todd? This is Todd from Watkins Glen, and Todd plans on Mike. He's going to be at, I believe he said, the spring race at Pocono. So I've got you a car pusher coming up at Pocono. Go ahead, Todd.
Mike, yes, I will be at Pocono for the very first race. I got the opportunity with one of the ARCA bigwigs. He invited me down. I've never been to an ARCA race. My roommate's never been to a race before, so we're going. We're going to be cooking for an Xfinity team. And if you do need a hand, please just say so, and we'll be more than willing to help you out in any way possible.
Well, we really enjoy Pocono. They take and respect us real well. They always make us feel welcome. We've built up over the years a good, strong fan base. We've got some crew members that are out of New Jersey, and you know, we've recruited a fire department there comes in and helps a good bit, but we're always looking for help, and you know, we enjoy making it fun. You know, we'll work your butt off, but you know, it's going to be at the pace that you can handle, and you know, we always you know, like for you to be involved in the ARCA series to help you understand a little what's going on, you know, why the cars are doing this or doing that, or you know exactly, you know, how much you know, some of the tolerances are and some of the rules, and you know, the more you understand about what's going on with the car, if you've sat there and changed the tires and see how heavy they are, then you understand, you know, the athleticism that the pit crew is going through when they, you know, run around out there. You know, we're not going to make any, I think the cup teams were doing you know, 11 and a half seconds, 11.8 seconds. About 14 seconds is about the quickest we're going to be able to make a change. But, you know, just the choreography of getting the tires changed and the gas in the car and the driver back out on the racetrack safely. If you've changed the tires in the pits, you start understanding that, you know, how much force it takes to raise the car up with these, you know, with these special jacks and you know, how many turns it takes on the lug nuts to get them off, you know, how heavy the tires are to come on and go to come off and go back on and what it takes on the impact wrenches to get them back up. You know, once you've done that a few times in the garage area, you know, you start realizing that, you know, the guys that are jumping over the wall, you know, to work on one car while 39 others are trying to drive in around them, it takes a lot of concentration and a lot of athleticism.
But
we'd love to have you come over. Yeah, generally, that's what I've been doing. I used to do catch can when I was a kid. NASCAR changed the rules, said I was too young, and my dad forged my birth certificate and got me back into doing it when I was, you know, they made the rules, said you had to be 12, and I said, well, I've already been doing it for 2 years. You know, I was 10 years old, and I'd been doing it since I was 8. My dad was the gas man at the time, and you know, he was crew chief and gas man. That was his position on the Cup crew. And you know, back then there was no such thing as fire suits and helmets and all that. You know, I wore blue jeans and a t-shirt and jumped out there with a catch can, and my dad would fuel it, and I was catch can. But by the time I was 16, you know, my dad was, when he drove, I would be the gas man. So I've been gas man for 35 years, and but you know, I'll do whatever I need to do. I've run jack, and I think Talladega last year I was a rear tire changer on one of our cars and gas man for Hilton, and you know, occasionally I'll work on two or three cars at the same time. So we sort of try to coordinate, you know, making sure, you know, last year we had three cars at every race, so you know, we didn't want to have all three cars come in on the same lap, so we would stagger them a little bit and, you know, do tires and gas on one and, you know, catch a breath and switch pits and tires and gas on another and catch a breath and switch pits and tires and gas on the third one. It'd get real hectic if we tried to do them all in the same caution, but sometimes that's what we needed to do, so we get the job done.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to Pocono. So if you need help, he knows how to reach me. We'd be more than willing to help you in any way possible and try to help you get a win.
Well, we'll you just come find the cars. We'll put you to work. You know, there's no question of if we need help. You know, it's always, you know, there's always things that we can use help on. You know, we'll talk you through, you know, anything that we ask you to do. Make sure you know what you're doing, and you know, we always for safety do a peer check. If you know, if somebody's taking something off or putting something on, then we'll have a peer check that goes in behind them and make sure that it's tight. And it doesn't matter if, you know, if you're the new guy or if it's me, you know, if I go in and put something on the car, I've been doing this for my whole life, but somebody will come around behind me and peer check me and make sure it's tight. You know, even if we're going out to test, we use a torque wrench and make sure all the lug nuts are torqued to 100 pounds, foot-pounds torque. And, you know, because it's racing is fun to us. And the, as long as we're safe, it'll continue to be fun. And, you know, we've had some, you know, some accidents over the years, but, you know, we pride ourselves on running a safe and reliable team.
Hey, Todd, listen, I appreciate you calling, brother.
Thank you, and
he's right. They'll put you to work. Just bring your work clothes with you. Just bring you an extra change of clothes because you're going to need it.
And
that's Todd,
not
I appreciate
problem.
You calling. Hey, Mike, before we leave here, expensive to get on the car, is it? I mean, you know, people go, well, it's too expensive. I'm like, hey, we're not talking about Cup cars here, folks, and we're not talking about Xfinity. Where can everybody, if somebody wanted to sponsor your car, how can we get a hold of you to
you can call me at any time. You know, we're looking for, you know, every dime that we can put forward on this car is going 100% into the car. You know, we've got several, you know, ex-Winston Cup cars that we run through the season, and you know, we've got engines that we're constantly freshening up and replacing pieces and parts on them to maintain the reliability. But you know, it's, you know, we've had people just come up and say, look, you know, y'all are the hardest working team in ARCA. Y'all get more done because of your, you know, the sweat of your brow. And, you know, we just wanted, you know, how can we help? I've had people sponsor me, you know, with, you know, just as a celebration. We try to give back to the community. You know, we've had multiple sclerosis. I've had working with them both here and in Chicago. You know, they have some guidelines that we have to conform to on supporting them, but we've had autism, cancer, you know, the multiple sclerosis. You know, there's a lot of sponsorship that we do for charitable organizations, you know, just to give awareness and show our support of these really great programs. But anybody that's interested in sponsoring me, they can call me. My number is area code 205-992-6621. We have a website out there. It's petersonmotorsports.net, and they can. There's a contact number and email on the website, and we have a. You can email me at peterson06@att.net. You know, so anyway, and of course, Rowdy, they can call you, and you can get them in touch with us.
Exactly.
You know, we're always looking for, you know, any businesses or just an individual. We've had developed a good friendship with a woman and her husband that run an insurance company down in Florida. We ran it at Palm Beach down there at a road course, and got to meet them a little bit. And she wanted to do something special for her husband. His birthday was coming up, so the next race was at Rockingham, and we had a big decal of his face, and it said "Happy Birthday, Mike" on the hood of the car at Rockingham. And I think we spent half the money that for the sponsorship to get that big decal made. But you know, that friendship that we developed, I talked to her at Daytona this year. We see they come to a few races because they're big racing fans, but you know, they come to see us and pull for us, and you know, we ran at Palm Beach for a couple of years, and Wayne and the driver actually stayed at their house, and you know they invited us to come in, and they lived just a few miles away from the Palm Beach Speedway, and you know, opened up their homes and fed Wayne and the driver, and just made them really feel welcomed. And you know, that's what's special about ARCA, is that one-on-one, you know, the friendships that you develop.
It really, it truly is. It's back to what it used to be when NASCAR, back in the late 50s and early 60s, when they come to town, they didn't go to a motel. They actually stayed with people that lived in the community. And that was a great thing about it. And it's still that way. I've been invited to go to people's houses and stay. And it's incredible. It really is. And I've been blessed to be able to hang out with y'all back. I tell you, you know, it was an incredible, I'd say it's a dream come true, Mike. But, you know, I've always tried to dream of something that was reachable. And I never, ever dreamed that I would have ever reached where I'm at now. And y'all are part of it. And just being able to be down there, that's enabled me to be where I'm at tonight. And I want to thank y'all for that. And you know, you're a blessed man to be able to work with your dad week in and week out when y'all race. And your dad is truly an American hero.
Well, we're proud of him. He's, you know, he's been racing for my whole life. He was a track champion at Rockingham the year I was born. So he started out with some really great teams. He was a development driver for Hutchinson and Pagan and Holman and Moody. Back in 62, he was stationed at Fort Bragg, and Rockingham was the nearest racetrack to Fort Bragg. He was a Green Beret there at Fort Bragg and Jumpmaster. But every weekend he would get off from the base and go run the racetrack there in Rockingham, the old racetrack. So it's something that's he's been doing longer than I've been around, and you know.
Well, I'm looking forward to the night that we have him on, and it's you know, everything's all in timing, Mike. You know, the progression I've tried to go with the show and all, and I'm looking forward to the night that I have him on. And Mike, I truly appreciate you coming on and sharing your stories with us, and looking forward to seeing you in Nashville, and for you coming back on. You're always welcome. If you got anything that you need to tell us, you know, we're going to be here Monday night at 6 o'clock Central Time. And another good thing about Mike, he's an Alabama boy. You live over in Hoover, isn't that correct, Mike?
That's correct. We've got a little shop here at the house, and you know, we try to do a little bit here, and then Wayne's does keeps the majority of the cars there in Pulaski, Tennessee. But there's no telling where we'll have cars. We may have a car over at Gerald's and Boaz and Sardis area, and you know, we've got a lot of support, you know, volunteer crew members and stuff like that help us out, and you know, we'll talk you into coming up to Wayne's and
it was in a pleasure,
hard day's work.
I'm going to tell you, when you go up there, though, there's one thing Wayne's going to do. He's going to feed you at lunch, and you better go when he calls you, because he's going to come out there and take the tools away from you and eat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we learned that if you're fed, you can keep on working. You know, we'll work you till you drop, but, you know, you won't drop because you're hungry.
Well, listen, I appreciate it. Mike, I appreciate it, and thanks for coming on and hanging on with us, sir.
All right. Well, I enjoyed it, and you know, if there's somebody out there that wants to get involved in ARCA, just give me a call. If somebody's wanting to help support the team a little bit, we're always looking for sponsors. We're planning on fielding at least two cars at Talladega, and you know, we're looking for for sponsors at each of the ARCA race, and you know, we'll be able to customize a package to fit whatever budget you have. It may be as little as $100 or as much as $1 million. But if you got a couple of those $1 million sponsors, we're definitely interested in talking to you.
All right, Mike. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank
Have
you, Roddy.
Have a good evening, sir. Thank
bye-bye,
you, sir.
Roddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. We're going to kind of move on away from what we've been talking about on racing. We're going to move to a different little category here. Tonight we're going to have a guy from Georgia. We've got Matthew, and Matthew has a deal going around. Once you see it, you'll be thoroughly impressed. And the name of his company is Fan Jam Tailgating. And I'm going to bring Matthew on right now. Hey, Matthew, how are you tonight?
Hey, Rowdy, I'm doing good. How about you, my friend?
Well, I tell you, I'm tired, but I'm not really. I'm still running off that adrenaline from this weekend in Atlanta. And I'll tell you, Matthew, it was really a pleasure to meet you.
My friend, I feel the same way. I could have sat there and talked to you for hours. I didn't believe we did that, didn't we?
We did. And then I actually wanted to come back for more the next day. And, you know, Sunday you're so pushed to try to get all the activities done, and I didn't get out to see you on Sunday, but I didn't. Saturday evening was absolutely an incredible evening. Matthew,
it really was.
Kind of just tell everybody what you've got going on with this, because I want to tell you, when you come back and up there with them double burners on that trailer and opened up the lid and seen those two 72, I believe they're 72-inch flat screens.
70-inch. 72 is close enough. Yeah, it's a pretty nice trailer. It's custom-made by Ready to Roll Trailers here in Georgia. It's got two 70-inch screens, a 42-inch screen, Bose surround sound, 600-watt PA system. It has a bathroom, hot water, cold water, heat, air, prep kitchen, dual grills, beer keg, DirecTV. Come on, DirecTV. I want you to sponsor Mike now. But it's really a nice unit. It's got a 6500 Honda generator. Come on, Honda. Throw a few of those dollars towards Mike. But it's really a beautiful unit. And we need to talk about doing something there with that little trailer for something for Mike here to get him some dollar signs on his cars, man.
That would be a great way to do it too. If you've got any kind of event, I mean, it don't have to be NASCAR. You do football, you'd do a wedding, wouldn't you, Mike? Or Matthew?
Oh yeah, yeah. The weddings. Well, we have March Madness coming up. We do baseball. So if anybody wants to come to Atlanta for a Braves game. We go down there to Alabama. Have you ever heard of that little football team down there called the Crimson Tide?
I'm about 47 miles from where the Tide practices.
Mm-hmm. There's I met some great guys down there.
Well,
but this trailer,
you know,
is self-contained. You can pull up anywhere in the middle of a field, on the beach, in the mountains, racetrack, and have everything that you need. And it also has a 6500 Yeti Tundra cooler. And it's just a beautiful unit. You pull it up there, most people are in awe, and you can walk 80 feet away from it easy and still see the TVs, and the sound is just as crisp and as clear. And so we definitely do need to do something. Maybe we can auction a package off for a race or two, and we donate some of that money there to Mr. Mike. You know, just listen to that guy's voice. I want to meet this guy. And
I'm gonna tell you something, Matthew. That guy is incredible. He knows. Well, you heard he'd been racing his whole life. He's been involved. I was at the pleasure of a couple of years ago when Chase Elliott was Ch- Chase Elliott was at Daytona, and he had to make the race for ARCA, and to make the race so he could race the Xfinity. And when they come back after qualifying and through inspection again, they found some trouble. And Mike was, of course, you stand there at the trailer and you see who's qualified, and Chase was literally going to have to, if he didn't qualify, didn't get that car in, he was going to have to buy somebody that had a spot in the race, or his Nationwide or Xfinity ride wasn't going to happen that weekend. And Mike went through the scenarios of what could happen and who would buy and what they'd do, and it was incredible. And that's when I knew this guy knows what he's talking about, because he knew exactly what they would have to do to get there. But, Matthew, you kind of walked me through and around your trailer, and I'm going to tell you what, it looked like you could have performed surgery in there. It was, the bathrooms was that bright, white, washable, clean. You had diamond plate prep room. You got the double burners on the back, and you got a sound system that you can hear probably from about 7 miles.
If we want to crank it up a little bit, we could definitely hear it a little ways away. So, but yeah, I liked anytime that I take it out, the first thing it's done to it is cleaned, and I want it looking brand new again. So,
I thought I had died and gone to heaven when y'all backed in there. I'm like, I looked up at the up, and I said, I know you've answered a prayer here, because I've seen the prayer is just pulled in here, and it was incredible. Just when it got dark, to have the race on, and I could see. I mean, you could put that right in the middle of the field. You don't have to have nothing but just the unit. Isn't that correct?
Oh, no, that's all we need. All we need is that and a few folks to sit around and watch a good race or a good game or even an old movie. And but it has all the LED lighting around it at night, and so it really casts it out well so you can walk around it and down at the bottom. And then it's got all the LED strips on the inside that light up, and it's actually a purple color. It really, really looks nice. So, but I'm glad you enjoyed yourself, and I'm glad that whole group behind us right there that got to be able to watch it, and they were a fun group of people. Actually, they were from Woodstock, Georgia, and from Alabama.
That whole group was behind us there.
And yeah. Matter of fact, you get to meet some really, really great people. And I mean, every time I pull that thing out and go someplace. I just really meet some of the most, the nicest people you'd ever want to sit down and have a beer with, or a burger, or a hot dog. And it was really a great, I really enjoyed myself this weekend. So, I'm looking forward to the next race. And I don't know if I'll be going out, where's the next one at, Las Vegas?
I think it's in Phoenix.
In Phoenix?
I believe they go to Phoenix. Yes, sir. That's kind of a pull for a trailer.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a pull here. So, get us something a little bit closer to home. Anything realistically in the southeast, and we could talk. Tennessee, maybe even Kentucky.
Thing comes with a cook too, if you need one, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. If people want to rent us out, they can just rent the unit. Or if they want us to supply food, we're more than glad to cater. If they want barbecue, or they want steak, pizza, hot dogs, hamburgers, you name it, whatever it is, that's what we'll have.
Mike, won't you go ahead and tell everybody how they can get a hold of you? Because I'm going to tell you, folks, if you want to impress some people and throw a big party, this is the unit you need right here, because I've done seen it. You're not going to get no better. I don't think you can get no better than what you got there. I mean, it was really impressive, Matthew. You really got a nice rig there.
Well, I certainly appreciate
that. We've got to get something going on so we can get you to Talladega. We need to come up with a sponsor, somebody that wants to step up, and let's throw a party. If you want to meet a lot of new people, all you got to do is rent this trailer
and set it up, and you're going to have more friends than you ever thought you'd have in your whole life. Isn't that right, Matthew?
Oh, yeah. You can put 200-300 people out front, and I don't think you'll have too many complaints. And but the name of my company is called FanJamTailgating.com. They can go on it and check it out. And they can reach me by dialing 770-377-5596. And let's see here. That'd be a good way to get in touch with me. And or they can call 678-763-8206. And that is for Fan Jam Tailgating. And all they have to do is just ask for Matthew. Say they heard me on the show here. And Rowdy will give them a pretty good deal here. And if anybody wants to do Talladega, then we can do a couple of things. Auction it off and for the weekend. And we'll donate those proceeds. Man, I still want to meet this guy, Mike. I tell you.
Well, you just,
and just donate all that to him for his race car. And and maybe we can even cook a hamburger or two for the guys that are working.
That sounds like a deal there. That sounds like a deal. Matthew, man, it was a pleasure meeting you. You know, you're the first guy on my new I'm trying to do a new little segment on the second hour, and you kind of correct. For several years, my whole theme has been CCR, camping, cooking, and racing. But I think after this weekend, our little talk now is camping, cooking, and tailgating, and then racing.
There you go.
And you're right. You know, tailgating is, you know, if you're not camping, tailgating's the way to go, and you can have a lot of great, good times there. But you know, when you break your rig out, I don't know if you'd even go into the race after you, because you'd have it all right there, where the food's right there and the drink and the big screens to watch it on TV.
Well, I tell you, that's pretty funny. I was sitting there and met a few folks out, and they brought some generators and some lights and stuff out from over here from Caterpillar. And one of the guys, I think it was one of the salesmen, was thinking, you know, the boxes are great, but tailgating is fantastic. And, you know, it gives you more of the experience, you know. And I hate to say it, I told him, I said, I kind of agree with you. And I've been that route, and I've come to find out that when you tailgate, you really get to meet so many more people. And you get to walk around, you get to just really just be able to enjoy yourself a little bit more. And so, you know, and those guys that I met there, I mean, it was just a pleasure to meet them, and, you know, all the work they did and all the stuff that they donated for that race in Atlanta. And I think tailgating, it's just, you know, this just steps it up a notch. And I was talking to some young guys out there, and they were really impressed with this. And they said, man, one of these days I want to have this. And I looked at them and said, well, you guys have more now than I had when we were your age, when we came to Atlanta. Now, this is back in the 70s. The only thing we brought was coal. We just dug a hole and cooked it. And so tailgating has really, really come a long ways since the early 70s. And I'm just glad to be part of it. I love it. And once again, to me, it's just about the people. And just like when you and I were sitting out there talking, how many people walked up? At least a dozen. And,
oh, more than a dozen. So, and everybody was just wild at it. I mean, really, it's really impressive. I've got it posted on my Rowdy page. And, it, you know, seeing it in person is really a lot different. I mean, it'll wow you big time seeing it in person.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's crisp, it's clean. You know, that black with that diamond plated on it, it just really makes this trailer. And, you know, I leave the name just on the back. People say, man, you need to put this on the side and this on the side. I said, if people want to spend money, we'll put whatever they want on the side. you know. So we'll take it, we'll wrap it, we'll sponsor anybody, and take it someplace for the weekend. And, you know, you can do charging stations on this for people. I probably have had at least, probably just over the weekend, probably 24 people charge their phones up. And so, you know, it comes in handy. And the ladies really love the bathroom, that's for sure. So when it's being, that's one of the selling points for the guys. They say, but honey, it's got a bathroom. And they'd rather use the bathroom on this than, I mean, and everybody, it's the same reaction. They say, it's bigger than the bathroom in my motorhome. It's like, well, I know it is because it's like 8 foot. And and it's a little bit crisp. It's a little bit more clean than the porta-johns that we need to use. So, but that's one of the things that the ladies love about it, you know. And the awning that comes out, you know, there's not too much of a glare. And you just got to know which way that sun's coming. So, but with the awning, we put out tents, we put out tables, chairs, and, you know, if people want food, we'll bring it to them. So, I wish you had to come by Sunday and grab a bite to eat there.
I tell you, Matthew, it's really a pleasure for you to meet you. And, you know, at least you've got something to offer folks that come to the race. You know, if you're driving from a long distance, you'd be sitting there waiting on them. You know, all they got to do is fly in, get the rental car, and you'd meet them at the track or at the game. I mean, that's
oh,
the best part.
I would just go and pick them up. You know, I'd have a buddy swing by and pick them up. So, you know how it is when you live in the South. You know, you treat everybody. When I was speaking to your wife, I told her, I said, well, you know now, I invited your husband to come out to the house and stay. I said, he didn't take me up on it, but maybe next time. And so,
and I appreciate that,
Matthew. Well, shoot, my friend, I'll tell you what, I felt, you know, when you sit down and talk to some people, you just feel like you've known them forever. And when I sat down and started talking to you, it's like I said, we could have definitely talked, we could watch the sun come up and we'd still be talking.
You're right, Matthew. I've been blessed to be able to meet people like you and other people, and this has been an incredible ride, and it's not over yet. We're just now getting started. We've took the green flag and we're racing to the end, but we still got a long ways. We made a few pit stops on the way, but we still got some more, and I know mine and your path's going to cross a lot more now, Matthew. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I can almost assure you that's going to happen. And, but, you know, we should maybe let a few of your callers call in and give you a couple ideas. And as far as maybe do, I don't know if we should do a raffle or do something and for the Talladega race. And maybe come out there on Friday and find a nice little spot and set up through Sunday evening. And after the traffic dies down, then we'll pack it up but we should try to let somebody come up with a good idea for you there. And I think your fans that listen to you, I'm sure they'll give you a few ideas.
Well, I can invite you over. If Talladega weekend, I'll give you a night of stay on the rowdy bus. I'm unfortunate. We never even got talking about my bus. I have a 71 Chevrolet with a 327. It was actually a traveling orchestra for a church, and I was blessed enough to be able to purchase that bus, and I ripped all the seats but four out, and I've got beds in there now. So all we do is just sleep in there. You know, we set everything outside and sleep. So, Matthew, let's talk about it over the next couple of weeks. I think that Talladega's in April, which is really not that far away when you start to think about two guys at
the
60.
Last weekend in May?
It sure is. I think the Sunday race is the first day of May, so that's how it's going to start the year out at Talladega.
Well, that's going to be a great race out there, and I tell you, that's a nice spot to go to.
If anybody's got any ideas, hey, next week call in or text me and or call Matthew, and let's see if we can't get this thing going towards to Talladega. Maybe we could get to North Park over there. I'm kind of in a group over there. Maybe we could get everybody pulled together and let's see if we can't get you to come over and hang out on North Park at Talladega.
We can definitely do
get
that.
Get something going to raise some money for Mike and them to keep on racing. Because if you enjoyed Mike, just wait till you meet his dad.
Oh, boy, now.
Absolutely a wonderful person. And it will make you feel at home. I've been to his house.
I feel at home right now, Rowdy. That's just how you make people feel. So,
well,
and it's like I tell everybody. I mean, when, you know, if somebody walks into my home, I want them to feel at home. And everybody does. It's one compliment they always make. And you know, and just meeting you, sitting there, we could have been sitting in front of my fireplace or in front of your fireplace, and it would have been the same. We would have just felt like we were at home. So.
Well, Matthew, hey, listen, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Anytime you want to come on and let's talk about tailgating or what you've done or our plans for Talladega, I'm looking forward to being able to announce that in maybe a couple of weeks.
That sounds like a good plan, and I'll tell those folks again, if you don't mind, they can reach us. They can go on and look at fanjamtailgating.com. Or they can go to Facebook and look up Fan Jam Tailgating LLC. And the phone number for Fan Jam is 678-763-8206. And, Rowdy, I appreciate you having me on tonight. You have a blessed week, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Matthew. And it's great, a pleasure to meet you, and looking forward to being hanging out with you again. Thank you, sir.
And if Mike still listening, tell Mike to give me a call. I'd love to talk to him.
I'll do it. I'll definitely do it. I'll text it over for all right?
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you,
plan, brother. Thank
okay,
you, sir.
Friend. Bye-bye.
What a night. I mean, what a night. We had Mike Peterson with Peterson Motorsports. Mike's a hands-on guy. You need to make plans for Nashville Fairgrounds. That's April the 9th. I think the race is at 8 o'clock Central Time. That's actually 39 days. 39 days from today, we'll be at Nashville. And if you need to bring some kids. I think at Nashville, you buy a ticket, you can bring your kids under 12. I believe it's under 12 in free. And that's a heck of a deal right there. Plus, you get to meet the drivers. Look for the Mike and his dad on the 06, which he said he had the Gator Dodge and the FedEx Ford there. And it's been a great weekend. Next week, towards the end of the show, we're gonna go back to the segment here that we've got now, where we're talking about camping and cooking and racing, and give everybody just a few minutes to call in and ask and talk about what they did at the race the weekend. So until next week, this is Rowdy Maglight with Rowdy Maglight Racing saying good night, and we'll see you next Monday night at 6 o'clock Central Time. Thanks a lot.
We're coming to the line. We're getting revved up. And when the green flag drops,
green.
We're going 0 to 180 in the blink of an eye. NASCAR is heading back to Vegas. The 2016 Cobalt 400, March 4th through 6th. Bright lights, high speed, all-out action, and all your favorite drivers vying for the top spot in the hottest town on earth. Reserve your weekend tickets now at 800-644-4444 or lbms.com. NASCAR in Vegas. Turn up the party.